Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. House lawmakers who argued the second impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump say they feel his acquittal does not mean the trial was a failure. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
House manager Stacey Plaskett tells NPR she feels the House created a permanent record of Trump's failure to uphold his oath of office. Although they didn't get the 67 votes needed to convict, 57 senators, including 7 Republicans, voted guilty, establishing that Trump's last act in office was to urge his supporters to overturn a free and fair election. President Biden issued a statement after the vote, saying that the substance of the charge against Trump, inciting an insurrection, is not in dispute. And Biden quoted Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who voted to acquit, but also accused Trump of a, quote, disgraceful dereliction of duty. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
A senior member of the World Health Organization team that's investigating the origins of the coronavirus pandemic is responding to U.S. concerns. The White House alleges that Beijing held some information about the outbreak. The BBC's Imogen Fox reports.
Today, Professor John Watson sought to allay doubts, telling the BBC the China trip was the first step in a long process. For now, he said, there were a number of hypotheses about the origins of the virus, the most likely that it moved from one animal to an intermediate animal host and from there to humans. But the theory that it originated in a laboratory or escaped from one has not been ruled out. Neither has the possibility that frozen meat could have played a role in transmitting the virus to humans.
New Zealand's biggest city, Auckland, has been put on lockdown after 3 new local cases of COVID-19 were detected. New Zealand has gone months without community spread. Japan is cleaning up after a magnitude 7.3 earthquake shook the country's east coast this weekend. More than 150 people are injured. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has details.
Japan's meteorological agency says Saturday's quake was actually an aftershock of a devastating quake a decade ago. That quake, whose anniversary is coming up next month, triggered a tsunami and resulted in some 20,000 people dead or missing and a nuclear meltdown. Saturday's quake was deeper below the Earth's surface, and so there was no tsunami. Bullet train service to some northern cities remains disrupted. Power has been restored to nearly 1 million households. Japan's nuclear power plants did not suffer any damage, and the blackouts, authorities say, did not disrupt cold storage of the first batches of coronavirus vaccines, which are expected to be distributed to residents in the coming days. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
This is NPR. The U.S. Embassy in Myanmar is ordering U.S. citizens in the country to shelter in place overnight as tensions mount. Thousands of protesters again turned out to oppose the February 1st military coup. Armored personnel carriers have been sighted, and the junta is threatening to shut down the internet. Political tensions are heating up in El Salvador in the runoff to upcoming legislative elections. Maria Martin reports an opposition lawmaker is accusing El Salvador's president of being mentally unfit.
The election comes as popular president Nayib Bukele is being accused of autocratic behavior, such as calling in the army into Congress last year when lawmakers wouldn't do his bidding. Now human rights and civil society groups say political intolerance is growing. They cite the murders last month of 2 members of the left-leaning opposition FMLN party and blame the intolerance on President Bukele, who in turn says there's a move afoot to remove him from office. Meanwhile, the Organization of American States said this week it will send a delegation to El Salvador to evaluate the political situation and guarantee elections. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin.
White House spokesman T.J. Ducklow has resigned. He was initially suspended for subjecting a reporter to a sexist rant for a question about his relationship with another reporter. The incident tested President Biden's vow to respect the press. This is NPR.